Good morning, everyone. I hope you're all doing really well. We're going to continue in our series in the Gospel of John. So today we're in John chapter 8, reading from verse 12 to 30. We're going to have this part, this section. You might see that the section continues in your Bibles. We're going to have the second part next week because it's quite a long section. So these two can be very much taken together. But let's read from John chapter 8, reading from verse 12 down to verse 30. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him, "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Once more Jesus said to them, "I'm going away and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world." They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many believed in him. So we're going to stop the reading just there. So let's pray, ask the Lord for his help as we look at his word. So let's talk to him now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Gospel of John, which teaches us about your son Jesus. Please encourage us, help us as we learn, as we study this passage. Please warm our hearts towards you. And by your Spirit, Lord, be working in us to shape us and to change us, to be more like your son. Lord, give us faith. Lord, where we haven't believed, where we haven't trusted, give us faith to trust in you and your one and only Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray in his precious name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, boys and girls, we all like to know the truth. Well, most of the time, we like to know the truth. Whether that's the truth when we're with our brothers and sisters, or the truth when we're with our friends, the truth about a news story, it's in us that we want to know what the truth is. When we know something or someone that is true, it's tempting to gossip because we know the truth and then we want to tell others, even if it's not our business. We love a good courtroom drama if it's on a TV series. There's one series that we like called Broadchurch, and one of the main stories is based in a courtroom. One of the characters has been charged with murder, and so the lawyers present on either side the arguments and the defense. And then it's down to the jury to decide. Will the truth come out? Well, the truth can sometimes feel unclear as people begin to debate it. Well, as we look at our passage today, we're not really in a courtroom, but we do have Jesus and the Jews debating Jesus speaks about who he is, and the Jews dispute it. And John, who wrote the gospel for us, he's presenting this information for us so that we might believe that Jesus is who he says he is. We want to get to the heart of the truth about who Jesus is. So we, and you, are now the jury. You need to make up your mind about who Jesus is. You need to come to a verdict on who this man really is. So let's turn to our first piece of evidence. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus here is at the Festival of Tabernacles, which was a seven-day festival which commemorated the provision of God while the people of Israel were in the wilderness. During the festival, the custom was to live in temporary shelters or huts made of branches and leaves. And there were two rituals during this festival. There was a water ceremony, where water was offered on the altar, and there was a light ceremony, where four golden lamps were lit. And this was in an atmosphere of great rejoicing, celebrating God's provision to them when they were in the wilderness. Now, Jesus has already alluded to the water in the last chapter, chapter 7, where he calls anyone who is thirsty to come to him and to drink. Well, now with the backdrop of the lamps being lit, he says in verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The festival was pointing to Jesus. He is the fulfillment of all that they were doing. He is the ultimate light that has finally come. The people were remembering God's provision in the past, but now Jesus has come and he is God's provision for all time. And Jesus offers life to those who follow him. So follow Jesus because he is the light of the world. But the Pharisees aren't happy with this. They object. Look at verse 13. It says the Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony isn't valid." They try to discredit what Jesus is saying. They're saying, you can't be your own witness, which for them isn't good enough. You see, in the Old Testament law, something would be considered true if two witnesses agreed on what happened. Well, Jesus says, there is another witness, the Father. Jesus' testimony is valid because of where he comes from, and there are two witnesses, Jesus himself and the Father. This was a custom that they had in the Old Testament, that it needed to be two witnesses. And Jesus is saying, you can trust my words because the Father is a witness for me as well. Jesus' words can be trusted. What he says is true. John is showing us who Jesus is. He's presenting the evidence that Jesus is the light of the world, the true light, the one who brings life. And we're being given the opportunity to follow him. Have you ever been on a midnight walk? Maybe with family or with friends, when it was really, really dark. The moon is behind the clouds. The street lights aren't there. And it's really, really dark. What do we need? We need light. We need something or someone to light the way so that we can follow the path that's safe. Well, we'll follow the person who remembered to bring a torch, or who whips out their phone and puts on their camera flashlight. They light the way ahead and we follow, seeing the path that's in front of us. Well, in this dark world of evil, of confusion, of sickness, of debt, of sadness, of suffering, there is someone guiding the way to life. And it's Jesus. He is the light of the world. So that's our first piece of evidence for you to consider. Jesus is the light of the world. Well, when you're presented with evidence, well, you'll need to conclude something. So we need to conclude from this evidence. What? Well, our first conclusion is that we would either follow him or not follow him. You must decide. We need to decide who we're going to follow. And we need to decide if we're going to follow Jesus or not. Well, maybe you think, well, what happens if I do or if I don't? What are the outcomes? What's going to happen if I follow this person? Well, not following him, you will walk in darkness. Not following Jesus means blindly having to face all that the world will throw at us. There is no true guide, no true direction, only leading to confusion, uncertainty, and ultimately a darkness that reaches all the way into eternity. Not following Jesus leads to an eternity of darkness where the light doesn't shine. Well, what about following him? What's the outcome? Well, you will have the light of life. If we follow Jesus, we no longer need to walk in darkness, in sin or in confusion, but we can have the light that brings life. We have someone to guide us through the pain and suffering, through the sadness and through the happy times. Someone to light the way through this world, who is present with us and who is leading us to an eternal home without any darkness, an eternity filled with light. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? When we need to trust that what he said and what he's done is true, and then we point our lives in his direction. Now, what would you call something that you hold in your hand, which shows you which direction to go, and it helps you to navigate to your destination? What would you call something like that? That's right, a phone. Who needs a compass? Well, we can use our phone or a compass to help point us in the direction that we need to go. Have you ever been walking around the town or a city where you're not sure which way to go, so you put on your Google Maps and you're walking, but you need to follow the phone, and the phone is going to point you in the right direction? Or maybe you've done this out in the wilderness with a compass. If you like hiking, you might need to bring a compass where there's no phone signal. Well, the phone points the way. We point the phone and we follow in that direction. But when we follow Jesus, our lives get pointed in Jesus's direction. And that's the way we need to walk. We follow in his footsteps. We do what he does. We see the way Jesus lived in accounts like this in John. And he wants us to live by his word. And we follow in that way. We point all the parts of our lives in his direction. He is our compass. He's the one who guides us, and we point our lives in his direction. So then everything about our lives will be affected by it. It'll affect the way we treat our family and friends, the words that we use, the things that we watch or read or listen to. Our lives need to be orientated towards Jesus in every way, and he works with us by his word and by his spirit to help us point our lives in that direction, every part of them, and to walk that way. Well, that's the first piece of evidence. Jesus is the light of the world. Now let's turn to our second piece of evidence for today. Jesus is the Son of Man from heaven. Now Jesus, he speaks to the people, and he's misunderstood again. Let's look at verse 21 to 25. It says, "Once more Jesus said to them, 'I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come.' This made the Jews ask, 'Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, "Where I go, you cannot come"?' But he continued, 'You are from below, and I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. You will indeed die in your sins.' 'Who are you?' they asked. 'Just what I've been telling you from the beginning,' Jesus replied." They don't get it. What is he talking about? Is Jesus going to kill himself? They're thinking. Well, he tells them that they are from below, but he is from above. Jesus is the Son of Man from heaven. He says that if they don't believe that I am he, they will die in their sins. He's calling the people to believe in who he is, or the result will be that they'll die in their sins. Through Jesus, we can be rescued from dying in our sin. The Jewish people would have been very aware of their sin with the constant offerings that they had to make at the temple, with the many laws that they were obliged to follow. And Jesus was putting himself forward as the one who would keep them from the danger of dying without those sins being dealt with. Because when they did something wrong, or in certain parts of the year, the Jews would have to offer sacrifices in response to the sin in their lives. So there was a concern that, well, what if we die in our sin and they've not been dealt with? Well, Jesus is saying, I can deal with those sins. It seems that Jesus' words, if you do not believe that I am he, may have been a little bit cryptic, because the people ask, well, who are you? And Jesus tells them about the Father who has sent him. He is trustworthy, and what Jesus says comes from the Father. We're trying to get about the truth of who Jesus is. But they didn't know he was talking about God the Father. Look at verse 28 to the end of verse 30. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And even as he spoke, many believed in him. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. Remember, the second piece of evidence is that he is the Son of Man from heaven. This is a name that was reserved for God's chosen Saviour, the Son of Man. It comes from the Old Testament. We see it in places like Daniel, where we see this name, Son of Man, being used for God's chosen Saviour. Jesus is the one that God the Father has sent from heaven, God the Son, to reveal himself to us and to do something about all the evil and rottenness that's out there in the world, and that we, if we look honestly, see within our own lives. And Jesus is revealing here something of what's going to happen. He says the Son of Man is going to be lifted up. Jesus, who only a short time after this festival in Jerusalem, was going to come back to Jerusalem, but this time to his death. He wasn't going to kill himself, like they were asking, but it was at the hand of others. He would be put to death, executed on a cross. The Pharisees and the chief priests would conspire to have him arrested and executed, and Jesus was going to be lifted up on a cross and die. So he would be lifted up and put to death for our sin. But yet this phrase lifted up continues, because Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose again and was exalted to the right hand of the Father. He was lifted up, he was raised from the dead, and he was lifted up and exalted to the highest place. And this was how Jesus was going to stop people from dying in their sins, by dying to take the punishment those sins deserve. He was God's chosen Saviour. He was the Son of Man from heaven. That's the second piece of evidence. He's the Son of Man from heaven. He's the Saviour that God sent from heaven to deal with the sin that we see all around and that we see in us. So that's the second piece of evidence. Jesus is the Son of Man from heaven. So again, we need a conclusion. Well, the second conclusion is we need to believe in him, or we don't believe in him. Those are the only two options that we can conclude from this evidence. You must decide. Remember, you're the jury. You're the ones weighing up the different arguments, the debates here presented by John. And you have to decide the truth about Jesus. Well, what's the outcome? What if we believe? Well, if we believe in him, our sin is dealt with. All the things that are wrong in here can be dealt with. All that we know that we've done wrong, and all that we don't even realize we've done wrong, well, there are consequences for those things. We know the guilt, the shame, the embarrassment of when we're caught in the wrong. And those consequences will stretch into eternity. But by believing in Jesus, our sin is dealt with. We can be rescued from those consequences that we deserve for our sin. The consequence of sin is death. Not just death now, that we're very familiar with in this world, but it's an eternal separation from God. That place where there is no light shining. A separation from all that is good. Simply by believing that he died for us, believing that our sin was dealt with by him and that he rose again. This is for us. This isn't just for the Jews who were concerned about maybe dying in their sins. This is for people in Cork today in Ireland in February 2021 to have the light of life, to have our sins forgiven. We need to believe in Jesus, the Son of Man from heaven. Well, what about not believing in him? Well, we're told very clearly in verse 24, you will indeed die in your sins. This is a grim reality. That by not believing in Jesus, all the wrong that we do, all the bad that's inside us, it's not dealt with. So we must face the consequences. And that those consequences are eternal. It's devastating. But it's what we deserve as we rebel against a good God who has made us and who has shown us the way. You must decide on the verdict for yourself. Will you believe or not believe? What is the truth about Jesus? Well, we begin to see how the people were reacting to his teaching in verse 30. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. So you need to decide, what will you do as you hear these truths? As we finish, I want to ask this last question. What does believing in Jesus look like? Well, you may have heard of a man called Charles Blondin. Well, if not, you may have heard about him, that he was a man in the 19th century who successfully walked across a tightrope over the Niagara Falls. In fact, he did so a number of times with a wheelbarrow. He did it with a stove, where he apparently cooked an omelette, and he also did it with his manager on his back. You see, his manager didn't just believe with words that Blondin could do it. He put his very life in his hands, believing that he could walk across this tightrope on his back and that he would be safe. Well, he was proved to be right, that he managed to get on the back of Charles Blondin, and he was walked across this tightrope on his back. Well, it's very easy to hear about what Jesus has done and say, well, yes, that's wonderful what Jesus has done. I believe it. But then you close your laptop, you switch off Facebook or YouTube, and you continue living your life after this sermon or after any other sermon. Well, it's another thing entirely to completely put our trust in him, because our lives will change. Remember, all parts of our lives need to orient themselves towards him. Like Charles Blondin's manager, we need to put aside all our own efforts and just completely rely on what Jesus says and what Jesus has done. But the amazing thing about Jesus is there's no danger of falling. What if it won't work? What if Jesus will fail? What if he'll fall? Well, he's already done it. He's already done everything that he's needed to do to rescue us and keep us safe. He has already died. He is alive again, so we can rest in his ability to save us and believe. Climb on his back and rest in what he's done for us and let him change our lives so that we can enjoy an eternity with him. We're going to adjourn the trial for 1 week. We've heard evidence presented about Jesus that he is the light of the world. He is the Son of Man from heaven. We've heard that we must either follow him or not follow him. We must either believe in him or not believe in him. We're going to hear more evidence next week about who Jesus is. We want to get to the truth about who is Jesus. And well, what do we do with him? And for you, the jury, you need to come to a verdict. A verdict that doesn't simply end with a yes or a no. It's a verdict that has life-altering effects for you right now and consequences that stretch into an eternity filled with light, filled with hope, as we spend it with our Lord Jesus. So let's pray and ask him to help us as we've thought about these things. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your wonderful Son, Jesus. We thank you for this evidence presented to us about who he is, the light of the world, the Son of Man from heaven. And Lord, help us as we wrestle with some of what these things mean, as we try to get to the truth about who Jesus is for ourselves, that you would use your Spirit and your word to transform our lives. Open our eyes to him, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time, to see the beauty of your Son, to see what he has done and to see how he works in our lives. And Lord, that we would submit every part of our lives to you. We wouldn't hold anything back. Lord, that we would climb on his back, rest in what he's done, and let him change every part of our lives. Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done, that you've sent Jesus to rescue us. We thank you for your goodness and the truth about who he is. And we pray, Lord, that you'd use your words to grow us and help us and strengthen us for all that we have ahead of us in these coming weeks. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.